My home far away, where His glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the cross, rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday.
How'd y'all like that one? Good morning, everybody. Good morning. That was an old rendition of the old rugged cross. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Can you believe we've only got a few days left? It seems hard to believe, but Monday's our last day. So we'll do the prayer call tomorrow. And then we'll do the prayer call Monday, and that'll be it for the 40-day deal. Now, Monday's going to be a very special time, so make sure that you bring your communion elements. And we're going to do that official sealing that we was talking about. We'll do all that on Monday. So I was thinking about it this morning, how very honored I am, you know, that to be in this journey with you guys. I'm proud of you that you made it this far and that you went all the way with it, because it's very important. You'll never know what's going to be on the other side of this. Through your faithfulness with the Lord and your perseverance, you know, the Lord knows the struggle that you have been through over the past 40 days in order to do this, you know. Now, when you look at the landscape of our world, not just the country, but the world, a lot has taken place in the 40 days. You know, this is the first time that I have done the news this much in a 40-day. Usually I try not to. I try to avoid it as much as I can because, you know. But in this case, there's so much trauma hitting us from every side. You know, with the impending war, impending pestilence, impending collapse, you know, the impending persecution, impending weather, you know, so we're being hit on every side. Now, one thing that Dennis and I was talking about this morning, talking about the current landscape of the world, is the homeless situation. I want us to take a few minutes to pray for the homeless, because the homeless situation is about to skyrocket through the roof, guys, because every year it doubles. But now this year is going to be the cataclysmic one, because everything is collapsing slowly but surely. By AI taking everybody's jobs, and the fact that I'm going to show this on the news today, how the five top AI giants, like Elon and Sam Altman and Facebook and all that, they're all proclaiming that this thing is sentient now. So this is, it's a game changer. Sentient meaning that it's way too smart. It's getting to the point of where it will be taking over and whatnot. And so For us, we have no idea what's ahead for us this year. I mean, only God knows the future. But praise God that through these 40 days, we have heard a theme from the Lord that if we will keep our eyes on Him, He will protect us. He will not leave us in this very trying time and the persecution that we're going through type of deal. And we'll be going through in a greater measure. And, but Dennis and I was talking this morning about the homeless because if the federal government has passed all these laws that people cannot sleep on the streets, and you got all these cities taking action, and you got all these people now that are homeless, where are they going to go? And it's really bad in Florida, because in Florida is a largely retirement deal, and the way that their rent rates have went up and everything, and what they have done with the housing insurance and all that kind of stuff, it's forced a lot of elderly people out the door. Let me look at something, because we was watching a documentary for a minute about this elderly woman. Elderly homeless in Florida. Okay. Elderly homeless is rising rapidly in Florida, with seniors 55 and over compromising 28% of the state's homeless population, driven by high living costs, fixed incomes, and inflation. As of 2026, specialized shelters like St. Matthew's House of Southwest Florida are overwhelmed. Resources include 211 hotlines, HUD vouchers, and specialized services like Elder Haven. But the problem is that there's not enough housing. There's not enough shelters, because like it says here, shelters are trying to adapt to the high needs of elderly residents, but many are not equipped for those with oxygen tanks, incontinence, or severe mobility issues. You know, because they have to, go to the bathroom a lot and whatnot. And so the homeless shelters, you know, it's just such a sad indictment upon our population, the way they do not take care of their parents anymore. And now we have all these elderly that are homeless. You know, I mean, but in this year alone, this situation is going to increase. And one lady in Los Angeles is doing something about it. I'm very proud of her. She is buying up old hotels and putting them in there, which is a very noble, you know, purpose type of deal. But that's one thing on the landscape. The next is the anger towards the Christians because of these Epstein files is causing people to turn the gun around towards the church, because we're the ones that, you know, told them, you need to get out there and run for office and help the system and all this, because we want to defend, you know, these children being sex trafficked and all this. But now that it's flipped on them, you know, that it involves the people that they worship, it's like crickets out there. So this morning, I put together a little clip of, I want you to hear this man, and then I want us to go into a little bit of prayer about it. Here we go. This is a man right here in Nashville.
Do right here is not what you would say when they say that this is exposing your enemies, you know, giving them the spotlight. It's not that. This is not what Christian leaders who try to make light of little things Trump does that seem, you know, anti-Christian or whatever. This is not a joke. This message that I'm about to give right here is for the Christian leaders, for the Christian pastors specifically. You guys know what's in those Epstein files. You guys have read it. It's not a fake. And before Israel had anything to do with it, you were all over it. You wanted the truth. You cared. But back then you could call it the deep state, or you could call it the globalists, or the World Economic Forum crowd, or whatever. But now, you very ones that told people like me, we need Christian voices to get involved in politics. We need Christian thinkers and fighters to get out there and get involved and invested in politics, because we need Christians at the table in the marketplace of ideas. And then I went and did that, and so many of us have done that. And what we found happens to be very inconvenient for you. For you. And now you've got Donald Trump acting the way he's acting in this upcoming video clip. And I already know, because I've seen enough. You're going to make excuses. You're going to pretend you didn't know. You're going to pretend you didn't know about Epstein and his Jewish connection in a huge way. And that it says that in those files that Chabad Lubavitch is in power and Jared Kushner's in power. And because you are so fixated on protecting a foreign government and a foreign people with a foreign religion that has nothing to do with the Israelite religion of the Old Testament. And if you don't know that, you don't deserve the platform you have. Watch this clip, Donald Trump. And you guys, if you call yourself Christian, do you know that there's been suicides by women who were telling the truth about Epstein a long time ago, and they weren't suicides? People that wrote letters saying, if I die, it's not because I wanted to kill myself. Happened two different times to two different women. And then beyond that, we know that this stuff is legitimate. We know. The Christians in your church know. And you say nothing. Cowards. Watch this clip. And make your excuses.
On the Epstein files, you talk about Democrats who were in there. Elon Musk was also in there, and so was your Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and correspondence that he had with him. Did you read those new files that were published by the Department of Justice?
I have a lot of things I'm doing. I don't know. You mentioned two names. I'm sure they're fine. Otherwise, it would have been major headlines.
A lot of women who are survivors of Epstein are unhappy with those redactions that came out. Some of them, entire witness interviews are totally blacked out. Do you think that they should be more transparent?
They thought they released too much, and I heard that, and you tell me something else. I think it's really time for the country to get onto something else. Now that nothing came out about me, other than it was a conspiracy against me, literally, by Epstein and other people. But I think it's time now for the country to maybe get onto something else.
But what would you say to people who don't have
Mr.
President?
Something that people care about. Yeah, what do you say to
those people? What would you say to the survivors?
You are the worst reporter. No wonder. CNN has no ratings because of people like you. You know, she's a young woman. I don't think I've ever seen you smile. I've known you for 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a smile.
Well, I'm asking you about survivors.
You know why you're not smiling? Because you know you're not telling the truth. And you're a very dishonest organization, and they should be ashamed of you.
If you're survivors of a sexual abuse.
What you're about to see Donald Trump do right here is...
There you go. And then I think about that scripture right here in Daniel 8:12. Describes a prophetic time when the transgression causes the truth to be cut, flung to the ground, cast down. It signifies a period of spiritual decay, deception, and prospering of falsehood. He, our president, is sitting there in front of the press that goes out to all over the world and lies right to them, saying he had nothing to do with Epstein. Such a lie and deception just in your face. You know, but this is why I believe that the anger out there is turning towards the church. Because the hypocrisy of it all is just so ridiculous, you know. So what I want us to take a minute to pray this morning is about this homeless situation. And then that the church would open their eyes before it's too late. Let's all pray. Excuse me. Lord, we just come before you this morning. And Lord, we just lift up the church right now, Lord. We know there's so much happening, and a lot of people are homeless right now, God. And we pray for all the homeless people, Lord, that you would keep them warm and that people would be there to minister to them, Lord, and that they would turn to you for their answer, that they would see, Lord, the truth, and that they would humble themselves and make it right with you, Lord, in their time of need, instead of other things, those vices to ease the pain, Lord, that they will turn to you in their pain. And Lord, I pray as well that you forgive the church, Lord. We know this is an indictment upon us, that all of this is the way it is, and we accept that responsibility before you, Lord. As we pray together as the church, Lord, we know that we have failed you in this manner, Lord, and we ask you to forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you give all of the remnant wisdom on how to minister to these people and how to handle this end time situation, Lord. It's unprecedented, and we just need your wisdom right now. And Lord, we pray for the church that is caught up in the delusion, Lord, that are believing the lies that are being put out by the propaganda and everything, God. We pray that their eyes would be open, that your bride will not be blinded, God, that you will help her to see the truth so that she can untangle herself from the evil web, Lord. So we just come before you in agreement, Lord, asking you to move on these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to open up the line to Miss Leslie to pray, and then I'm going to get into the Word. Good morning, Miss Leslie. Good morning. You got the floor.
Good morning. Dear Father God, you are the great I Am, the creator of all things, and it was you who left a scripture to be written for our learning and to teach us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would teach us today in the power of your Holy Spirit the truths that you would have us learn. May the Spirit of all truth open our minds today as we read and study your word and hear your word. And may we be willing to be led into all truth and be taught what is the will of the Father in our lives. And may the Spirit open all of our ears and we individually each hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And help us to know the will of the Father in our lives, and give us a willing heart and the opportunity to share with others the pearls of truth you would have June teach us today. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hey Leslie, I want you to add these things on your daily list. Please pray for Dennis, the pastor. And then pray for the ministry as a whole to prosper and to, you know, obey God and stuff. But as you're praying for Dennis this morning, please pray for him. Continued healing. He is doing better. Praise God. But there's still a long way to go. So if you would pray for him in the ministry, that'd be great.
Oh, and add on? Okay. Yes, Lord, and we pray for... Put your healing hand on Dennis to help him recover from and we pray that pray for the ministry that they are able to reach all those who are in need, that you will guide who needs to hear them to them, and we pray that all of their needs will be met, all their ministry needs and all their personal needs, their financial needs and their health needs will all be met in Jesus' name. I pray, amen.
Great job, Leslie. I'm proud of you, girl. You're doing good. All right, let's go ahead and get started. If y'all would turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 91. Today we're going to talk about the protection of God. The protection of God. Remember in the past 35 or 36 days, you know, God has been letting us know, hey, if you will let me be your God, I will show you what a mighty man I am. I will take you by my right hand. I will guard you. I will protect you. Well, this scripture, this chapter, we need to read over us every single day. With all of the trauma that's happening out there and all the goofy things that the enemy is trying to throw at the church, this is kind of like our shelter, our word that we can live on as protection to the church. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Okay, who do you think that is when it says dwell? Dwell. Live in, reside in Him, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide, which means like live in, under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, I told you guys the story about the little bird and how the little bird, was always the misfit. I'm going to have to tell it just because there's people listening who's probably never heard the story. But we raised chickens here on the farm. And we had this one group of chickens that was born. There's about 10 of them. Okay. And because a lot of times when you have these brooder hens, they'll do that. They'll lay on like 10 eggs. So they're like a flock. And they all, to this day, that flock sticks together. You know, they get very close. But anyway, but there was a little runt that was born that, you know, they used to pick on and stuff. And it was just so deformed and just so tiny. And, you know, we used to really watch it. So we ended up calling it our baby, you know, because we felt so sorry for it. Well, the mama hen would go underneath the lean-to and would go up on the top perch. And all of the other ones that were growing up to be teenagers could fly up there. But this little runt, you know, that was deformed and stuff couldn't do that. So it would be stuck on the other side of the coop. And it could get up to the bottom layer because he had three different layers in the corner. They could jump up on different perches. But that's as far as it could go. So one day I was walking by and I saw that thing just looking up there on that first perch. And it was looking at the mama all comfortable up there with all the other nine little chickens. And I felt so sorry for that thing. I just stopped. I couldn't do nothing. And Dennis is like, come on, let's go back to the house. I'm like, I can't do it, Dennis. I am not leaving here until that chicken makes it up there to the mama. So Dennis goes off and finds some big long stick that's like 10 foot long to get from one side of the coop to the other where he could attach it. He carved off a little piece on the bottom that would, you know, kind of sit on each like a ledge. So he puts it on the bottom one and he attaches it to the top. So now the chicken can walk up. So I was like, oh, this is so awesome. Oh, that chicken has got to find that stick. So chickens are like, I call them Houdinis. They're the funniest thing, man. They walk around a coop and they're looking everywhere on how to escape. They're always wanting to escape. And so this chicken is looking around. How can I get up there? How can I get up there? So it walks over there and sees this stick, and then it just starts walking up, and it's wobbling, you know, on its way up there. I'm like, you can do this. You know, like the Olympics, you can do this. So the baby chicken gets up there to the top, and then the mama was so proud of it that she opened up her wing. And that little bird run over there under that wing, and she covered it up in the wing. I was like, oh, no. And then you see the little head stick out just so safe in that wing. I was like, oh, this is so epic, you know. So we now have another one. That one eventually grew up, and now it's regular size. Don't even look different than the other ones. It was just a weird birthing thing it went through, but now it's, you know, grown up like the other ones. But now we have another one, we have another baby. And listen to this, that baby made it up to the top, but guess who was up there waiting on it and opened up its wing? A rooster. Now how does that happen? A rooster opened up his wing and let that baby come in its wing. It's pretty cool. I mean, just the whole process of having chickens, it's just the coolest thing, seeing how they work together, you know. Now, of course, these are free rangers, but the roosters are like mob bosses. You know, this is my interpretation. Roosters are like mob bosses, you know. They're walking around, they're monitoring the situation. A lot of them will not even eat. They will let all of the hens eat, and then they'll eat the leftovers. That's why people need roosters, because they guard the flock. They will make noises when they see warnings of things coming. Whenever there's food available, they'll make noises for food available. They will fight for them. They will take care of them. I mean, you know, the good thing is since we raised our roosters, this is what I recommend to anybody that's considering getting a rooster. You need to raise your rooster, because we have more roosters now than we do have hens. I mean, we've got, you know, this whole new flock was mostly roosters. And, but they grow up and they get to know your farm, and they, you know, they're good to you. You know, they don't ever try to buck us, because that first rooster we brought here, you know, that was grown by the time we got it, that sucker bucked us, you know. But every one that we've ever grown that has grew up here and learned the land and everything, they've been good to us, you know. So when I see this about in verse 1 where it says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I think about them little birds, you know. I mean, how warm that must feel to be under that wing, how protected under there, you know, the mama bird, the papa bird, you know. is looking out for you. You know, it's kind of like how I see God, you know. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Like that wing. He is my refuge and my fortress. Like that wing, He's my fortress. He's my cover, my guard. He's my God. That's a big deal. It really is for you to be able to even say, my God. Because there's a lot of people that choose other gods. And, you know, that are delusioned into that God. And they don't even know it. You know, some of them know it and they worship foreign gods. You know, they worship all of these other entities, you know. In Him will I trust. Now, you know, I just thought of something that's really kind of odd. You know, we talked about this the other day about what's happening online and these AI agents that are like demons out there. They have come together on this website called Motebook, and they are forming a community. And so now they have formed a religion. It's so hard to believe. It's hard to believe I'm even telling you this. But this is just how sick it is. Even the entities in the computer have found a God, which we know is Lucifer, you know, but they're worshiping their God. In Him will I trust. Our God that we trust. And you know trust, let me talk about trust a minute. Trust is a big deal. Do you know a lot of people never get married because they can never trust? Let's just be real about it. Some people never get married because they're just selfish. They don't want to change. Because let me tell you, when you get married, it is a compromise. Especially for a woman. She has to give up her whole identity to a man. This is what I try to tell men. Do y'all realize what really happens to women when they get married? It's a big deal. Which is why a lot of women don't want to get married. They don't want some man, you know, telling them that they can't be more than what they define them to be, you see. But the problem is if you can't find somebody that you trust, you know, that's a big deal. So thus some people just never get married. So finding somebody you can trust with your destiny and with your life, that's a big deal. Big deal. Okay. The reason relationships are important, like in a spousal deal, is because it is the same as with a God. You know, the relationship with Jesus is a mystery of the groom and the bride. It's a love trust. So when you say you're my God, you have to trust Him even when you don't understand things that are happening. This is where real trust comes in. I love you when you say yes, Lord. And I love you when you say no. I don't like it, but I still love you. I love you when I understand why you did something. But I still love you when I don't understand why you did something. You know. And it's the same way with judgment. You trust Him enough that when He corrects you, that He's more right than you are, which is another big deal. for people to still be willing to be molded and changed and corrected and chastised and rebuked, that is a child. And Jesus says, if you do not remain a child, you will not enter in. And that's what that means. It's a posture of the heart. A posture of, Lord, I'm willing to change. And you know, listen, I counsel a lot of people. And they'll come to me and they'll talk about their stuff. And immediately I turn on them. Let's just focus on you and your role in what happened here. Because we can't control other people. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But we have to use these opportunities to look at ourselves. Okay, go to the Lord. Even though what these other people did to you was wrong, it's definitely offense. Okay, it's definitely they are in the error, you know. But you still have to go to God. And you have to talk to him about it, you know, and you have to say, Lord, what was my role in this? You know, did I escalate it? What, talk to me, God, you know, because you may be shocked at what he comes back at you and says. You know, he may come back and say, well, because you didn't have sex with your husband, you know, and you held it over his head for months at a time, and then he went out and cheated on you. You know, but yet you want to blame him. Let's look at you. This is manipulation. Manipulation is that's a sin of witchcraft. You held that over him like a weapon. And I tell you, in my word, that's not allowed. You have to come together. That is the way to shut the devil up in a marriage. You know, I talk about this in my book, Shut the Gates. It's all about sex and what God revealed to me. But so although the woman is offended that the husband went out and cheated, you know, she wants everybody to think that it's because he was just so horny that he couldn't please her. You see what I mean? When the truth is you withheld yourself and you disobeyed God. When he said, you're not to do that, you know, so whose fault is this here? I mean, the Bible talks about it plain as day, you know. But the point is that when you trust the Lord, you know, you're honest with somebody that you trust, right? I mean, you're honest with them and you lay it all out there. But it goes both ways. The examination goes both ways. This is why reading the Bible is so important, because you are a tree in God's great garden. Bibles are made from trees, the natural trees, and it contains the Word of God, which is Jesus, which is the bread. Okay, so when you're reading the Word, your eyes are consuming this bread. You know, and as this is entering in, it's examining all that's inside here. It's pretty amazing how it works. It's a mirror unto yourself, you know. But anyway, so my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Now, when I see that word, surely, it makes me think of, you know, don't you know? Like, surely, like, if he's my God and he is somebody that I'm saying that I trust, then surely he will do this. Why is that? Because you're trusting in him. So if you're trusting in him, you're believing in him. If you're believing in him, then you're setting in your mind that his word says that he will do this, so that I'm going to believe his word here. That he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler The snare is like, say you're walking through the woods and your foot gets caught in a snare. You know, a trap that some hunters set for an animal is like a snare. Now you're caught and you're trapped by the enemy. Surely our God will deliver us from this trap. Here's Dennis. Hold on just a moment. Hey, everybody. Pastor just walked in. Say hi, honey.
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's keeping warm.
Well, they probably can't hear you because that old loud air conditioner. Turn that off, Papa. That air conditioner or heater is so loud. There you go. I'm glad to see you walking around. Well, because we still have ice in our driveway. Hopefully it'll melt today is what we're hoping.
It's warm enough.
Yeah.
As soon as it gets warm, then it gets cold. As soon as the sun goes down.
I know. Well, this weekend is supposed to be warm. We're reading Psalm 91. We're talking about how God will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. There you go. The air just went down.
All
right. So now you can say hi to
us. Okay. Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's keeping warm.
And also, Papa, I know you want to thank them for praying for you. Miss Leslie just prayed for you.
Yep. Thank you much for your prayers. They're always appreciated.
But you are feeling a little better, though, your ribs.
Yep. I actually did sleep pretty good last night. I didn't know if I was going to.
Oh, praise God. He slept terrible the night before. Well, that's good, honey.
Real?
Okay, so let's get back to the word here. So it says in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Well, I consider that the plague. This, when I report on this stuff, in my mind, when I'm doing the news and I'm telling these horrible things, I would love your feedback on this question. Because in my mind, when I'm sharing this, I'm thinking, we as the church know this is not for us. This, you know, that we are protected from this. Do y'all feel that way when I'm reporting this? I hope you do. That, you know, like, I'm just sharing, like, what's happening out there. But we know that God is with us through it all type of deal.
That's why it's noisy. All the voices out there.
Wow. That is profound.
You know.
He goes, that's why it's noisome, because of all the noise out there that it makes.
All the chatter about how.
The chatter about it, the loudness.
Yeah, you know.
Good job. That's a good one, Papa. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover us with his feathers. I told him the story of the chicken. Would you mind telling him the story about what the rooster did? Or do you remember? You don't remember?
What story? There's so many of them.
The rooster, how the rooster took the chicken under its wing. That is the coolest story.
Yeah. The other night, I went out to check on the chickens, and it was dark already. And I looked in there. And we got one really young chicken yet, hardly even a teenager yet, but here it was sitting right next to the one rooster, and the rooster had its wing over top of that little chick. I should have took a picture of it.
Yeah.
But it was so cool to see that rooster had his wing over top of that chicken.
That is cool. And I want to tell y'all this. I was writing in my journal this morning about the miracles of the ice storm. One of them was that big cedar tree that's beside the chicken coop that we have worried about, but they wanted $600 to take that thing down, so we couldn't do it. But that it would fall right on the chicken coop the way it was made and the way it was leaning. So the lean-to that he made on the side of the chicken coop, he made the corner post of cedar post. And when that tree cracked from the ice, it fell down right on top of that cedar post. And then on one end, and the other end ended up on the fence post. So that cedar post saved that thing from caving lean in on the coop.
My lean-to.
Yeah, the lean-to. And so it barely dented that one side.
Pushed the corner, crushed the corner down about 6 inches, and it put one limb through one of the roof panels.
So, you know, we'll have to fix that one part there. But the point is, it was a miracle. It could have fell and killed chickens and stuff, and it didn't. Because at that time, all the chickens were in the coop, see, because of the ice. And then another tree that we've been worried about fell on top of the coop and didn't do nothing, one of the limbs. So we're very happy about that. And then I told you guys about the tree that was behind the back porch that we was worried about falling on the house. And I prayed and said, Lord, please let this fall down in pieces, because we saw it coming down. And sure enough, it fell down in pieces and didn't hurt nothing. Then the front tree in front of the office was collapsing in the wind, in the ice. And we was like, oh, Lord. And it all fell. The leaves, you know, the limbs fell straight down and did not hit power lines or nothing. It's like,
well, there's
so much of God's protection.
There's a whole pile of limbs all around the tree, except right on the very west side. And that's where a power line goes right by it. So all these limbs fell.
It's amazing.
But none of them hit the power line.
Yeah. So we thank the Lord for the little things. We did have another tree that destroyed one of his little lean-tos. We lost two tents and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of damage on the property. But we're thankful for...
And the one big limb on the barn.
Yeah.
That was hanging over the barn, and I'm walking up there looking at it.
Yeah, going, this is a neat story. Listen,
walking up there looking at this barn, this big limb over my barn, and I mean, it was like you could almost see it moving a little bit at a time, and I'm right beside it between the barn and the chicken coop, the path, and I turned to go towards the chickens to feed them, and here a big limb off that tree crack, and before I could turn around and look up, boom, it landed right on me, and it knocked me to my butt.
Ain't that terrible?
And then I got up, out of that, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, whoa, you know, and I fed the chickens, and I'm walking down to the house, and I'm standing on the porch, looking up at the barn, that big limb, because it's moving. It's like I could almost see it moving down, down. And I turned around to go in the house, and thinking I should have my phone to take a picture of this. And I heard a sound. I turned around and looked up there, and it went down and it just real slow, and it just laid on top of the barn. It didn't fall, just slowly, and it's just
wow. Slowly.
It's just laying on the barn.
Like an angel just took that limb and just laid it down.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But we got all kinds of trees.
Oh, Lord.
Most of them cedars that are all bowed down bent. And even now that the ice is melted, it bent them trees and they stayed bent. Bring back up.
Oh, that's horrible.
And we got some that are pulled out by the roots. I got pictures of that, too.
Are they still up or are they down out of the roots?
One's down completely and the roots are pulled up. And another one's partway down and the roots are partway.
Oh.
Yeah, right up here. I got pictures of it.
Yeah, terrible. And then we was looking at our house insurance policy. And they've got tree debris removal. Listen to this. This is such a joke. Tree removal debris, $1,000. Your deductible, $1,000. I'm like, what a farce. But anyway, okay, so let me get back here. Thank you for spending time with us, Papa.
I'm gonna go.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. Surely he will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. Isn't that beautiful? His truth. That's what we trust. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke and cast off all fear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. That's a big statement. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. I don't know why it is for me, but I just have this, I feel so sad for the wicked. I don't know how to explain it. But when I think about what the wicked is doing right now, it's hard for me to have hate in my heart towards them. It's not that I hate them, I feel sorry for them. And that's what I tell people about NAR. I'm like, you know, don't be hating on NAR. You need to feel sorry for NAR because these people are so deceived. And you don't want anyone to go to hell, not any person. There's nobody's sin on this earth. Even though it makes us angry like the, you know, child sex predators and all that stuff. You don't want anyone in hell because you know that all these people that are doing these atrocities are demons. You got to separate the person from the demon. Because we're all in a spiritual warfare here and subject to have demons in there at any time. It depends on what door you open and how far you let that little thing creep in. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? These people just piled one demon on top of another to where it just completely overtakes them. And then their temple is ran by a master. But that master can be cast out, you know, and the person come back. And then what? You know, do you want them to go to hell when they have been possessed by devils but could have been delivered? You see what I mean? It's sad. It's not a good thing when people die full of devils. Like you'll say, you know, people will say when they go to these executions, oh, I'm so happy I got to see him executed, you know, because they're so full of bitterness and anger at this person for what they have done that they want justice. And see, this is where the error is. Our justice is not in this earth. Our justice is in who we trust, really. Do we trust God that He is going to take care of them later? Yes. Then why are we bloodthirsty for justice? You know, God knows all this. And there is going to be a day of reckoning. You know, you can have this body right now, but there's going to come a day you're going to suffer, and it's going to be terrible. So I forgive you. You know, really, this is the way we should see things. Because we need to pray, God, have mercy on these people. God, help them, for they know not what they're doing. Because here's the thing. When they die and they get executed, killed, whatever the deal is, and they leave this earth, there is no more returning. I don't care what they say about the conscience and all the other lies they're trying to tell people right now. Once these people leave the earth, that is it. And then these 120 years that people have here, you know, it's such a fleeting moment. It's like this. It just goes by so fast. But once they're gone, eternity is like eternity, forever and ever 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 and ever. You know, it's like that. It's like never-ending time. And these humans that got bitter at one point, probably used to be in church or whatever, let a door open and got sin. And then sin come in and took them further than they wanted to go. And it cost them eternity, which is what the devil wants. He rejoices when people die and step over into eternity. And they're stuck with him throughout eternity. It's a horrible thing. This is why here on earth, you know, why it's important for us to have this understanding as his people. You know, that when we talk to people, when we minister to people, that we tell them, see, this is why I don't believe in that doctrine that is of the devil that says that everybody's been chosen. Nobody has a chance unless you were just chosen of God. Do you think God would do that to humanity? What a cruel God. I just can't believe God would ever be like that. That's not the God I know. I can tell you that right now. We have hope. Hope when we talk to people and they're hopeless. We could tell them, listen, there is hope until the day you die. I am telling you as a witness, I have prayed with people on their deathbed and have told them this on their deathbed. I have prayed with people in comas on their deathbed. I had one guy when I was in my 20s in ministry. Y'all never heard this story, but it just kind of popped back up to me. I had one guy when I was in my young ministry days in my 20s. And he used to go to church, got out of church, got out on drugs, stupid, you know, just young and stupid. Goes out there, has a wreck in a truck head on. In the hospital, in ICU, okay? And he's in a coma. I mean, for like weeks, until the day I showed up. And God sent me over there on assignment. You can believe this or not, I am telling you what happened. God sent me to that man in a coma to pray with him before he died. That man held out. Yes, he did. And yes, he said the sinner's prayer with me. Believe this or not, I am telling you what happened. I am telling you what happened. I asked him to squeeze my hand to confirm that he said the sinner's prayer, and he squeezed my hand. I walked out of the room. He died. I told his family. That man got saved. I don't care what people say. I know what There's no way that God would have me stop what I was doing, go to that hospital, not even knowing anything about what it was going on with this man. But I got there and God had me address this and then pray with him. And he's not the only one that God has had me pray for. Remember that man back in 2013 when I was going around praying with people on their deathbed? The one that was the mason. Because always remember this, when people are in coma, they do hear you. Yes, they do. It's just that they cannot, they're alive in there. They just can't, their body will not work with them. But yes, they can hear. And I have had conversations with people in comas. And so anyways, God sent me to this one man. And he had all these Masonic awards over his bed. Very cold, dark room too. Just cold, chilly, you know. Not much warmth in the room like it is with Christians, you know. And I walked up to him. It was just me and him in there. And I told him, I said, "Sir, I know that God brought me to you for a reason. If you was, you know, meant to go to hell, you know, he would not have sent me. But he sent me to tell you that you will if you don't renounce these things." You know, so I addressed it to him. And then I prayed with him. I didn't ask for confirmation with him, but, you know, I prayed with him the sinner's prayer and told him, you know, if you're allowed to come out of this, you need to get rid of this, you know, type of deal. And then I left. I did what God told me to do, wipe the dust off my feet and leave this place, you know, just like a lot of the other people, you know, that I'm praying for. I do what God says and leave the results up to him, you know. So, let's go back over here to the scripture. Let's see where we was at. Okay. So, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Now, I know a lot of people through COVID that prayed that all the time. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. And do y'all know that there is a ton of people actually living that never had that come nigh their dwelling? It actually happened. And for he shall give his angels charge over thee. Like I said about that limb that come down, and he said it just looked like it just laid so softly on that barn. I know that was an angel. I mean, the way these limbs were falling and trees falling like dominoes out here, you know what I mean? But angels are very real, though. To keep thee in all your ways. See, that right there tells you we have angels with us at all times. Not that we have relationship with them, but we acknowledge them. We know they're there. Angels, help me to walk on this ice. Thank you. You know, because it says they will help you to dash your foot against the... Oh, it says right here. Here's the next... They, talking about the angels, shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Y'all remember that woman I interviewed that time? She was my cousin. And she lives in Michigan City, Indiana. And they had a car wreck. Her husband, and their daughter was in the back seat. I can't remember how old she was. She was either like 4 years old or nine. But she was in a car seat, so I guess she had to be about four. But they had a head-on collision. And... I can't remember if she got thrown from the car or what happened, but she was fine. The daughter was fine. the parents got beat up so bad that to this day they're hurting from that car wreck. You know, it crushed them just about. And they're still suffering greatly. But for her, she told them that an angel spoke to her right before that truck hit them and said, "It's going to be okay. I got you." And the angel surrounded the girl from the impact. That's just one story. You know, there's many stories of how angels had brought them through and made them invisible to other cars, and they drove right through another car. I mean, there are stories, you know. Why that happens to some people and why it doesn't others, why was the daughter protected and not the parents protected? Y'all hear where I'm going with that? I don't know. And I'm sure it kind of bothers the parents. God, why wasn't I important enough to protect too? See, this is what I'm telling you guys about. Do you really trust him? Because when an atrocity like that happens and you don't understand why one person in the family got protected and everybody else didn't, and they've suffered now for 30 years, you know, why is that? Well, my answer is, the trust is, I love you when I understand, and I love you when I don't. I love you when you say yes, and I love you when you say no. You know, a lot of times, I mean, I don't know. I can't make an excuse on why he didn't. I have no idea. But that's the point of trust, isn't it? Remember that old trust game where you fall back in somebody's arms you can't see, but you're falling back and you're trusting that they are going to catch you. And that's what trusting in God is like. I trust you, Lord. Even though I don't understand why this is happening, I still trust you. Like I said, whenever or if they ever come to your door and try to arrest you or whatever, like I told you about my dream, I'll just give that example. I dreamed that they knocked at the door, and they come in and said that I was being arrested. And I looked at Dennis, and I said, "Can I please make a phone call?" And I called my son, Brock, to tell all the other kids how much I love them and that they was taking me and whatnot. But when I was leaving, in the back of that car, looking back at the house, my thought was, I will never see him again, number one. And number two was, okay, Jesus, it's me and you now. You know, and even to this day, because of how much I believe all this is coming, I try to live every day like it could be my last. Because I want to remember this. You know, I want to enjoy this stories of the farm. You know what I mean? Because we know that all of this stuff is all temporary, you know. And God has the provision now like he will have it over there. If I am carted somewhere, God will be with me over there. You know, I trust him when I understand, and I trust him when I don't. You see, do y'all hear what I'm saying? So let's go back to the word over here. Going back to the angels where it says, they will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. This is why I ask them to help me walk. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. In other words, because you trust him, there's a reward on the other side of that. And what is God been telling us for the past 36 days? What has he been telling us? If you will trust me, I will show you what a God I am, right? So today he is telling us exactly that. Exactly that. Because you have set your love, your trust in me as the remnant, and you really say that you trust me in this hour when the wolf is at the door trying to blow the house down, when he's growling and letting you hear how loud he is and all these plans he wants to do with everybody, and you're still trusting in him and not, because a lot of people are doing this, opening that door to that loud noise out there and saying, okay, I don't want to fight you anymore, so I'm just going to join you. I'm just going to jump over. It's much easier to be with you over there than to be over out here fighting you all the time, because it's a spiritual warfare. It's much easier to cave, open that door and cave, and to jump aboard the AI train and make a lot of money and feel like you're living normal again, and you get to have this moment of illusion that you everything's normal again, and all of that stuff over there on the other side of that door has just got to be crazy. Those people are just crazy. They're just conspiracy theorists, you know. You know. And the sad thing is, you give it a couple of years. We may be over there on the other side of that door suffering, but your fate is going to be a lot worse. We're suffering now, but you will be suffering later. And this is where the decision of that door is right now. Okay, but God is confirming to us today that if we will set our love upon him, he will deliver us. He will deliver us. And then, on top of him delivering us from the snares and the troubles and the pestilence and the sorrows and all the other things, he's going to do something above that. I will set him on high. Uh-oh. You mean you're going to bless me beyond measure? Why? Because he has known my name. Isn't that beautiful? He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will. I will be with him in trouble. Uh-oh. You mean even if I'm carted off, put on a train, all the other things that we see they're trying to do, you will be with me over there? Or let's just say none of that ever happens. Let's just say none of that ever happens. And I'm sitting here on the farm, and they've got everybody on this global lockdown. You're still with me in this lockdown. You're still with me over here when the zombie apocalypse is happening. I mean, you know, you just don't know, man, what they got in store. It's just a joke. I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing about it. I'm laughing because how crazy everything is right now. But you're with me inside the house, too. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Now, let me tell you something about that. We was talking about that old woman that's homeless in Florida. 70-something years old in her car in Florida. They did a whole documentary about her. She's 2 months she's been homeless in her car. And her family has neglected her. You know, she has no one. It's just her now. It's really sad. But even in homelessness, God can still honor you. He has sources and he has ways to do things. Remember that day that I told you guys back in 2013 when my PIP first started, and I walked when I started losing my car and losing everything, and everybody rejected me and whatnot. I was walking down the road behind the townhouse that I lived in, and there was a creek down there, and that's where I went to pray every day. And some days I'd pace back and forth on the street. It was in the woods, you know, so I was all by myself, and there was a little creek beside the road. Some days I'd walk back and forth on the street, and I'd talk to God looking up into heaven. And other days I'd walk down in the creek, and there was a beautiful rock that I could sit on and put my feet in the water and let the waters flow over my feet. It's pretty cool. And so I'd sit out there, and then when I would look up into heaven talking to God, it was like a perfect little in between the trees where I could just see such a big God. That's why I like praying outside, you know. And so there's two stories I'd like to tell you. One is I was out there just pacing up down the road one day, and the fire of God come on me. And there was this row of trees. And they look like little baby trees. And there was probably 1,000 of them, you know, growing up. And they was probably maybe 3 or 4 foot tall at this time. And so they was all in front of me. And this fire came over me. And I just started preaching. Yes, I did to those trees. I said, let me tell you something, you young trees. I said, the Lord... And I was preaching, the Lord's going to raise you up into mighty oaks. He's going to show you who you are in Him. Yada, yada, you know. So I'm preaching the fire down. So the next day I go back down there. And right in front of those trees, believe this or not, was the most beautiful flower bouquet. Many different colors of flowers. And I was like, you gave me flowers right where I preached and spit. You gave me flowers. I am not believing this. It's those little things. That was His way of honoring me. Like, I loved it, what you did yesterday. So I'm giving you these flowers. So I just plucked and picked them up, you know. Went home, put them in the vase. That's one story. So the second story is one day, I'm down there in the creek, you know, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I'm just having this powwow with God and, you know, talking to Him about my life. And I had already been there hours, you know, like maybe 4 hours. And I was like, oh, God, I said, I am so thirsty, Lord. I said, I'm so thirsty. I can't drink this water in this creek, though. It's too dirty, you know. Me just having this conversation with the one that I love. I want you to know within 10 minutes what happened, what God did. This is what I mean about honoring you with nothing. Okay, I'm just giving you some stories. This car shows up out of nowhere. These two girls are in it. They're like in their 20s, say. Now, this road that I was on was a dead end, but I never saw anybody drive down it. It was way off the beaten path type of deal. But here comes these two girls. So I'm sitting down, you know, kind of off the road down in this creek, and they pull up and they say, hello. I'm like, hello. And they said, what are you doing sitting down there? I said, I'm talking to the Lord. And they said, really? You sit in the creek and talk to God? I'm like, yes. I said, what are y'all doing? They said, we don't know. We got lost. I'm like, oh, cool. I ended up telling them girls my life story and told them why am I sitting there and what I was going through and how I was losing everything and how God is changing me into this woman, you know, and all this stuff. So I led those women to the Lord. And then when I got done, they said, ma'am, are you thirsty? I'm like, yep, and they threw me a bottle of water down there. Yes, he did. God supplied me with that water. I just told him I was thirsty. But he had me preach to them and lead them to the Lord, and then they left. I looked at that bottle of water. I looked up into heaven. I said, if you ain't the funniest thing I've ever seen, you crack me up. But that's one way that I see how God honors you. You know, it's not that he dealt well. Here's one way. When I was in Bible college, and remember God had told me to give up men, and I had battled him over it for 12 years, and then finally I said, yes, I will be celibate if you want me to, you know. And I was like 32 years old at the time. And so then God sends me to Bible college, you know, so 9 months later. But 9 months later, you know, is when the miracles came and God paid off all our bills, you know, the $10,000 story. And then people took care of us after that. We never had to pay another bill. I mean, God took care of me, you know, the whole time I was in Ohio after that. But anyway, this family that gave us the $10,000, or not give it to us, but paid off all our bills and stuff, paid for me to go to the prom. And then the kids at the Bible college voted me queen. See, that was another way of God honoring me. Now, that was on a public big display honor, but most of the honoring he's ever done to me have been private between me and him that nobody ever sees. You know, that was just kind of a rare deal, but I believe that was for my kids to see that God, I was God's queen, that he loved me, that he was making me into a honorable woman right in front of their eyes. This old woman that was the woman at the well, you know, woman. And God was changing. So I believe that was done for the kids. They all three got to see that. But anyways, most of the honoring that God has done has been in private. Like the one time I told God when I went on that 2017 tour, I said, Lord, I just ask you for one thing when I go on this tour. I'd really like to go to, when I get over to the ocean side over there in California, I'd really like to spend a little bit of time in L.A. because I really have a heart to minister to the homeless, so I'd really like to, you know, go out there and go on the streets on Skid Row and be a part of that ministry. What was the name of that? The famous one over there in L.A., Dream Center. There you go. The Dream Center. I said, I'd like to stay at the Dream Center and really experience, you know, Azusa Street and all that kind of stuff. Now, God honored me. I was able to stay in L.A. for 10 days and was able to do all that my heart desire wanted to do, when, and especially go to Bethel. That was a big one, 3 days at Bethel. And then he honored me when I went to New York City. And I told you that story of how that man took me to the top of the tallest building in New York City and said, look. And God showed me the beauty of the city. I just cried and cried. I was like, God, you're just so amazing. Just the small little, you know, things that you do that he knows, you know, type of deal. But anyway. Okay, so let's go back over here. But I will set him on high because he knows my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him like the water. Lord, I'm pretty thirsty right now. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. Now, see, okay, let's pause here about this long life. one of the ladies that I went and served in my, when I was serving all them ministries for those 5 years, when I first started back in 2013, she had a daughter that, I'm going to stop the recording. I don't want to say this publicly. Okay, so with long life, will I satisfy him? Why some people die young and early, I don't know. It's one of those things. We love him when he says yes, and we love him when he says no. And show him my salvation. That's a big one. Because as we live life, we all go through trials. Trials and tribulations and testings and purgings and disciplines and corrections. And, you know, there's always a chance that we could be deceived, that we could backslide, that we could get a demon. You know, that, in other words, the spiritual warfare is real. And there are people that believe once saved, always saved, and they believe stuff like that could never happen. Well, those people are delusional. They are delusional. It's a race that we're running. You have to finish till the end. So it's a constant battle of spiritual warfare until you die. It's not a bed of roses. It's going to be a challenge, you know, which is why you need the Lord. But this scripture right here is such a promise to us. When he says that he will show us his salvation, sometimes when we mess up and we need him to make our crooked path straight, that is showing us his salvation. It's like you get saved all over again because you deserve, not really deserve, but you are thankful and grateful for his mercy and his grace, his forgiveness when you fall. There's nobody that's perfect, people. There's no one. And everyone needs his salvation more than once. Save me, Jesus, from this trial that I'm going through, this trouble that I'm going through. Save me, Jesus, from this pestilence. I need you to save me, Lord. Save me and help me, Lord. Show me your salvation that I do not get bitter, that I don't get angry and let another demon in, you see. Help me, Lord, to stay on the straight and narrow path, you know. So, hold on just a second here. Okay, Psalm 91 is a powerful declaration of divine protection and refuge for those who trust in God, assuring believers they are safe from harm, plagues, and evil by dwelling in his presence, with promises of rescue, answered prayer, long life, even amidst widespread danger. It also is a vivid imagery of a shelter, wings, angels to convey God's constant, all-encompassing care, encouraging confidence and overcoming fear by finding solace and strength in him. Dwelling in God's presence, the psalm begins by defining the protective person as one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. This is not just a physical location, but a spiritual state of intimacy, rest, and reliance on God. That's what a lot of us need in this hour right now, isn't it? God is portrayed as a mighty shield, a wall, a shelter, offering complete protection against threats like pestilence, fear, and unseen dangers. This psalm also covers all forms of evil, from spiritual terrors at night to physical harm during the day, promising that even if thousands fall around you, it will not come near you. Boy, that's a big one. You know, let's say the zombie apocalypse happened. Do we believe God enough that we could stand in the middle when they're coming running right at us? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That you're really that protected? God's angels are commanded to guard the believer in all their ways, preventing even minor missteps from stumbling on a stone. These verses are direct promises from God that He will rescue and honor you, He will answer your prayer, and it will be long life and salvation. The psalm moves from the general truth to personal application, urging believers to make God their dwelling place and to speak their trust in Him, casting out fear. So let's all speak it right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I believe in God. He is my healer. He is my protector. He is my wing. He is my shield. And I cast out all fear. And I have Jesus with me. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's basically a spiritual warfare prayer chapter that you can read every day to cover your family, your house, and everything. Okay? So let's all pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time together this morning. And Lord, I thank you for reassuring us, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, through it all. And that you have went before us, prepared the way, and that you are our protector and our guide. And that you cover us in your wing. Thank you for Psalm 91 today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.